of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, roll call.
Eels.
Here.
Brazil.
Here.
Conley.
Here.
Green.
Here.
Stokes.
Here.
Here.
Next is approval of agenda. So is there anybody at this time wishes to add or delete anything on the agenda?
Yes, we do need to add a piece under informational in reference to cell site retention proposal. Yes, that would be, or, yeah, that would be either 9 or put it as 8 and shift upcoming events to not be asked for this time.
So let me ask you a question. I saw a bit of it, I just scanned it. So is this an action item that
it
in a time frame? Okay.
It does not have a set time frame.
Okay, okay.
We just wanted to bring it to everybody's attention and then maybe make it an action item next month.
Okay, I got it.
What kind of retention was that?
We rent a site for a cell phone transponder, and they're offering to buy it from us outright.
And Kathy put it on your desk.
Cell site, okay.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Okay, that's it.
I didn't understand.
Okay. Anyone else wish to change the agenda?
Nope.
So may I have a motion?
I'd like to make a motion to approve the agenda with the change for item 9 regarding the Verizon cell site.
Second.
Okay, roll call.
Eels.
Aye.
Brazil.
Aye.
Conley.
Aye.
Green.
Here.
Stokes.
Aye.
So at this time, I always state this, prospective new board members. We have our hands on hope as a board. We are united in purpose and mind, and it is to serve our children and our community. That is our modus operandi. And it's a little more extensive than that, but that encapsulates it. So just to acknowledge you, this is Casey and Amanda, who are candidates for the board positions that are open. And then also Donna, who is a candidate. So there are 3 board positions open, and at this time, 3 board members, or 3 candidates who are vying for that. So needless to say, you're shoo-ins.
Thanks for clarifying.
And we have a wonderful shoehorn, and we're going to get you started right away. And obviously, this is awesome that you came tonight, and will hopefully come to our next board meeting again to give you this orientation about how it looks. But I have to tell you, it is an honor to sit in this seat. I think I speak for all of us that, again, it's been a wonderful experience.
And I do have orientation packets for both of you. I just wasn't allowed to say anything yet, so.
Thank you. Okay.
Can I give you a heads up?
Okay.
CASB conference is the 11th?
We're on it.
Yeah, they're
on it.
Yes.
Thank you.
Here.
Yes.
Thank you all.
Yeah, that way you know to plan now.
Okay.
For being gone.
Thank you.
Anyway, so at this time, is there anybody who wishes to address the board?
There was supposed to be somebody here, but I haven't seen them.
Okay, seeing that there is no one, we will move on. So our next item is the reports.
I will start us off, and I would ask the board if they had any questions about my report or any of the aspects related to that one.
So I guess probably the one of the things that's mentioned several times is about the perspective of more family engagement.
Yes.
And the word that keeps getting repeated is contact. And obviously, that's a term that can be a bit fleshed out. And so, you know, what is the contact strategies?
Beginning of the year, we had advisors and classroom teachers reaching out to families to talk about welcome back, this is the beginning of school, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. My principals have been monitoring attendance in the first 3.5 weeks. It started last week, 3.5 weeks of school, and families that were already falling behind in attendance contacted directly by principals via phone call. There have been emails as well. My principals and I are also working on we're trying to codify how we do all district communications so that we're not stepping on toes and sending too many communications all at once. So we are working on that, and each principal and director is going to be sending a communication about every 3 weeks that will go all district. We have sat down with the calendar and identified multiple places to invite parents to campus. We are looking at attendance drive incentives for parents as well in early October. And then as the superintendent, as the dust is settling, I would like to start up the regular coffees that I've talked to you guys about. I have not had a chance to get my parents in for that yet. So contact points are phone calls, emails, and then regular larger communications going through Facebook and through the campus from the various leadership providers.
Been given the opportunity to choose a preference out of their mind to use contact?
Yeah, they can choose how to opt in and how they prefer to be contacted when they do the registration. It's also an option on the campus.
Yeah, it could be a pain in the neck if you're not living in a
and that's kind of where it sits with me, is again living off the grid,
yeah,
and being computer illiterate, that again the communication becomes spot.
Gotcha.
I guess I would, you know, appreciate being identified as one who needs a particular avenue of communication.
Yep.
I also know that we've talked about home visits in the past, and again, I just, you know, would like to see more coordination and collaboration with the homeless liaisons as the counselors and that particular demographic.
I would agree, Mary, and I would, you know, add, just being completely transparent, we only have one counselor for the district at this point, and half of our homeless liaison is also that full-time counselor and also a part-time teacher. So trying to coordinate additional responsibilities for a district that is so understaffed. It absolutely should be something we're doing. It's a challenge without people in the right positions. So I think it's noted. I think you're absolutely right. I don't know that we literally have anybody to do it. Tanya, can you speak to that?
We have weekly meetings, student support meetings.
Yeah.
And we do discuss with our liaison and any of our permanent, like our IEP coordinator and even our school nurse sit on that meeting.
We also, right.
And we discuss those.
And we also have the liaisons for the first time that are attending meetings at the Housing Task Force.
Absolutely.
Between the two of them, they can both be there on Thursdays. They are, if not at least one of them is attending that transient task force as well.
And I would say that it would also be of a necessity to again coordinate with the Aspen Mind Center.
Yeah, they attend the resource group meetings.
Yeah, but not just the resource group meetings.
Oh yeah, they're in contact with Chris Eric, absolutely.
Yes, yes, because sometimes we interface on a different level,
yeah,
which ends up, you know, again being complementary.
Again, another way, instead of stepping on toes, let's dovetail together.
Okay.
I agree.
Okay.
And I do hear what you're saying about maybe it's time to look at our population again and make sure everybody is getting the contacts in the way that they need to be.
Yeah, I saw that in Lorraine's report. She talked about the requirements of the grant and again, this ramped up screening that again measures at-risk factors. And so I'm also thinking about how does that dovetail into this piece? But if you say the nurse is there and I see more coordination that is happening with the school-based health clinic, then I can see that there's a direct coordinate.
And we did, the district nurses, we sat down with representatives from the school-based health center 2 weeks ago. We talked about conversations. We talked about how we're communicating across the street back and forth. We're talking about how we are emphasizing to parents that the grant funding is based on pediatric patients. But predominantly their numbers are increasingly adult patients. And so the communications that we are putting out with parents and with community members are that the benefit that they are receiving from this as adults is in jeopardy if they're not encouraging their students to take advantage of it as well. And so when a nurse calls, when a district nurse calls, our district nurses are not allowed to refer a patient over there. Our district nurses are allowed to remind them that this is an option and that they can walk them into that. And our nurses are committed to doing that. And hopefully the messaging that that parents are getting from us is, you know, you need to, if your child has a fever, please don't just take them home. Please let them be seen for free across the street. We've also invited them to additional, anytime there's parents on campus, they're going to have a presence and a table set up, including upcoming sporting events, parent conferences, the trunk or treat. We're going to have them with us at trunk or treat as well to be able to pass out relevant information about what's happening. Because we don't want that relationship to disappear.
And obviously, you know, if you read again Lorraine's report that the school-based health clinic has operated in the loss in the last 4 months.
Yep.
And so then I'm thinking, okay, and we're not seeing an accounting of the revenue streams that might offset that. So, again, we've been down this road where what is of what in less than a month that we were notified that it was being vacated. And so again, I think we need to be cautionary, but we also need to take and make sure that this asset is being supported in a way that brings a revenue stream to it. And again, I'm not seeing the discussion in regards to that.
Agreed. And again, we are very, as a school district, even though it is a school-based health center, you know, when you're talking about HIPAA and you're talking about HIPAA laws, you know, even our school nurses are somewhat tied in how they're able to pitch that to their patients.
Yes.
So.
Well, and I think they're about to embark on a campaign, advertising campaign. Because they asked me for some resources.
Well, yeah. Part of that campaign, you had mentioned that to have your kids seen for free, is it free? Is it actually free? Are they going to get a bill in the mail later on that says, because that's the concern that a lot of people have is that it's not free. They're telling us it's free, but we go in there and we get seen, and then next thing you know, we got the bill coming in the mail.
And that's part of the oversight that is on the Gorman Medical side, that we don't see that. We do not do the billing.
And so if we're as a school district saying that place is free over there, and then bills are coming in the mail, it's not fair to the parents. It's not fair to me as a school board member to have to try to defend that.
I agree with that 100%. And that has been communicated to Fran and to Dr. Rip about the concerns, and they have told me that nobody who cannot pay has to pay. No,
okay,
shot.
So there's where we got to talk about that then, because it's not free. If they can pay, it's not free.
Yeah.
So we got to discuss that or something, or they have to discuss it, or somebody has to say something, because that's one of the things. We're out here grasping for money, but they're saying it's free, but it's not free.
If they're getting the bill, it's not free.
Right.
Let me pass that on to you.
Well,
Maureen
might have some insight into that.
Can I make a comment?
But I don't believe that Maureen. I don't believe that she is employed by them other than as a grant writer.
Well, yeah, she wrote that grant, she's going to know how that works.
Yeah, again, like, it's a little nebulous, because she doesn't actually work for Gorman Medical at this point. So can we take public comment on this?
Yes.
I can say, because my kids go to Gorman, that I have been billed for my kids going to Gorman and not told until after I called them that there was even a grant in place.
There was what?
A grant in place for the kids. So I didn't even know that my kids could go see Gorman for free until they told me. And I'd already gotten billed.
All right, is there a secret password you have to give to be able to get the discount, or what's the deal there?
I just got to have the handshake.
Stanley, I will ask them to clarify that.
It's frustrating, it really is.
And I can't.
Throwing that word around free, nothing's free. Somebody's got to pay for it one way or another. If we're saying as a school district that everything they're doing over there is free, just come on over, well, that's not the way it is.
And I can say that dealing with their billing, they have a billing office separate from the office. And it is, because the only way you can pay your bill is by calling them, and the only way you can talk to someone is by leaving a voicemail and them calling you back.
So, again, one of the issues too is sustainability and self-sufficiency. And again, those are, you know, all about diversification of funding. Okay, any other?
I have lots.
Questions on the reports?
Yeah, I just have one. And I realize we're dealing with percentages again. I keep hearing about percentages. But I have, seem to have an issue with one percentage that showed up in the report based against the fact that we've got a 49% truancy rate. Can anybody explain what that's about?
Which way would you have to report that in? If you remember.
Yeah, I'm going to pull it up.
I remember seeing it.
Well, there's a whole chart on the different districts. Anything over 10 missed days.
And that was from our account.
Yeah, any missed days over, or any student that's missed unexcused absences of 10 days or more is a truancy. And we're showing our district at 49-point-something%.
From last year, that's probably pretty accurate.
Yeah, that's concerning.
Yes, it is.
But that's why you guys are doing what you're doing now, is to beat that up.
Yeah, and you know, in context, like, that's probably an accurate number, but that's not just CCD.
And
actually, under the state average for?
We are under the state average.
Yeah, there it is.
But in the reporting, there was probably three reports that talked about attendance, and the numbers did not match up. But hers, I just had wondered why she chose to report on the three things that she did. One was the meal program, the other one was the new reform under dependency and neglect and the requirements of mandatory reporters, along with this attendance issues. And again, she's new, but I did not understand how this was in her job description.
My question is how is this being reported? I mean, are we getting reported because we've got kids that can't make it in when they're buried up there in snow on the other side of Rhyolite?
Yes.
Or, you know, if that's being reported as truancy, well, that's not true.
By the way the state records absences, if it's an absence, it's an absence. So that's prearranged.
That's what I was wondering, because that didn't seem right.
Well, there's sort of two different things for absences. There's one about excused versus unexcused, and then there's another one that has to do with overall absences for the year.
Right.
And so this is one where they're looking at overall absences for the year, because we can't teach them if they're not there.
Right.
Kind of thing. So we do have one that's an excuse versus unexcused.
But even if they're on remote learning, they need to be counted as there. That's what I'm saying. they're on remote learning, which.
Yes.
Most of these kids are.
Remote learning, that's an attendance day in those attendances.
Yeah, they need to be commented.
And they are. If they are there, or if with our littles even, if we have contact with the parent and we have packets that go home with the littles, if that packet comes back with work completed, that's a counted attendance, because we do know that some people are challenged to have internet. Or, you know, and we also have times where our teacher's internet goes down, you know. So we do our absolute best to maintain contact with our families in some way during those days.
Well, I think our communication system with our families and our parents are probably the best around. I don't think you could do any more than what we do. That's never a question. I'm just concerned about when the state looks at this, they're not seeing what we're talking about. Okay, so when they start allocating money, this is what they're seeing. All right, so we need to be able to justify this and get the numbers, get real numbers, not made up stuff. You know, I mean, we're not in downtown Colorado Springs where the kids can take the bus or, you know, the snows are the. You know, we can have the streets plowed at 3 o'clock in the morning all the time. You know, it's a whole different, we're in a different situation up here.
Absolutely.
So actually, real accounting is something that's going to be real important to us. Anyway, that's all I had.
Okay. So, I have lots. Don't just keep speaking. Meryl?
Mm-hmm.
I think you answered my question. So the T-Mobile, then we're not doing the Verizon phones anymore?
Correct.
And that's a significant savings?
Most of our admin are using 50 megabytes or whatever it is, and then there are several that are using more than that. But what I think it comes about, $20 less per phone.
Some of those bills are big.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a few of them. And then the satellite phones are for the buses.
Yes.
Yay.
Yes. And for field trips and, you know, anything that we take students to.
That's great.
So athletic events.
And then the hotspots, is that here to just the general area, or is it for our?
The hotspots are not part of. But they are providing us with 30, I believe, that we can give out to families that do not have Wi-Fi or have poor Wi-Fi. But the problem with that is it is T-Mobile, and so if you're going towards Florissant, there's a dead zone, there's nothing. But, you know, I guess I don't know where it starts up again.
It depends on the date.
Is it up or Twin Rock? Then it starts again.
If you get to Garfield Circle, you'll have it for about 50 yards. And then you turn into Twin Rock.
That's what I thought.
Until you get to the top of the curve, and then you're done until you get to the
right. So then you would get.
Not that I ever drive that.
I know, every day. But as far as Victor, which didn't have Verizon, T-Mobile is strong there.
Good.
So we have a lot of families.
And then Desi had a question for you. So I've been on the board almost 4 years, and Michaela and Jessica have been going to school for 4 years.
Michaela has been going to school. Jessica just got her associate's degree and is starting her bachelor's degree right now.
Oh, cool.
So she really has been working on it.
We should celebrate that.
Yes. She just recently got her associate's in May.
Nice.
So,
yeah. Did you have a party?
I didn't, but we should, because she's worked hard, and she's got a full load of her bachelor's degree this semester, so.
And working full time.
Yes. She's doing it right now, actually.
Yeah, and I was, like, on the reports that Amalia had in her, I don't understand why those.
I think that's because she's been working on grants and that, and reporting for them. That information is coming from the stuff she's seen. grants, grant reporting. So she probably thought that you guys would want to be aware of that.
My next question is, do we have any really cool Nifty's 50 way to get any data on how much repairs are costing so that should somebody ask us about something?
Yes, I have a question about the board, Schneider Electric, our partner that has done the, I guess we've been with them for 2 years now, and the overhaul of Schneider Electric's role is to seek out grants that will fund overhauls of major, some of these issues of campus, they did the HVAC, they did the security system, and all of that. And I've requested reports of the next 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, 10 year outlay of what it's going to.
To have that?
That's, yeah, I've asked for it.
Okay, that's my reports question.
Any other board member? Okay, then, moving on then, to our business meeting, so the consent agenda.
There's a correction that needs to happen in the meeting minutes for, when we were talking about the BOCES update, there was a special meeting. The special meeting was for making sure a change in Katie's FTE to 0.8, not her FDC. And that's in paragraph, item C, paragraph 5.
0.8? Yeah, I could barely hear anyone talking.
Well, and you could tell, it was close to the same sound, but it was the meeting from the 4th. That's all that was.
Okay.
Any other corrections? We have a motion then.
I'll make a motion to approve the meeting minutes on August 4th and August 6th.
Second.
Okay, I think we're trying to do the whole consent agenda.
Oh. I don't know about the rest of it.
Okay, so what I need then is a motion to approve the consent agenda with the corrections to the minutes.
Okay, I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda with that one correction to the minutes and accept everything else.
Second.
Roll call.
Eels.
Aye.
Brazil.
Aye.
Conley.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Stokes.
Aye.
Okay, next is the approval of the July 2025 payables and payroll.
I'll make a motion to approve the July 2025 payables and payrolls.
I'll second that.
Roll call.
Eels.
Aye.
Brazil.
Aye.
Conley.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Stokes.
Aye.
Okay, next is the second and final reading of the J policies. So what's the pleasure of the board? Do you want them read out? Okay.
We need to read them first.
Okay, a motion then, please.
I'll make a motion to approve the J policies.
Second?
I'll second.
Roll call.
Eels.
Aye.
Brazil.
Aye.
Conley.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Stokes.
Okay, then next.
Aye.
Okay. Sorry, Stephanie. Next is the informational items, and we have 9. So you go forward on this, Dan.
You bet. A 1% sales tax check for July, $47,674.35. Which is trending, still not what we were hoping for from a very busy month. I'll be curious to see what August is.
So July would have been the June 20th.
Right.
I know the vendors didn't do it.
I'd be curious to see what that means. For the teacher housing pilot, I put the long report in there with you under site metrics and strategy report. This has been generated by my collaboration, as I talked about in my report. This has been ongoing for about 9 months now, a continuation of what we started, you know, 5 years ago, talking about housing. What our consultants are doing, and coming back to us as this report kind of walks through all of it, is still expressing, in summary, that for the district itself to get into building and developing houses on our own is pretty cost prohibitive and maybe less realistic, given the size of our construction trades program, that is to partner with contractors and partner with local developers and get them to work with our students on developments that are moving forward. As the report expressed, they looked at multiple sites in the Cripple Creek and Mazur area. They met with local developers, they met with local contractors, they met with the Whole Camp Housing project, you know, and we talked through all of that. And due to the cost of cat fees, it is a big piece. The funding options are fairly limited for a district our size to actually start from scratch. One thing that I spoke at length with them about, that I spoke to Gold Camp Housing about, as well, is buying existing properties that need repairs, buying existing properties that could be updated. Those are much more realistic for us than it would be for us to build houses from the ground up. They're still talking about affordable housing from the district side of putting in 350 to 400 per unit, and then expecting to be able to rent that out to a teacher or a public employee is just not realistic, let alone coming up with the $350,000 or $400,000 for a single unit. Whereas there are perhaps houses available that need to be remodeled that are considerably lower than that, that are more in the $80,000 to $120,000 range, that then would be project pieces for the district to take on. I'm not convinced that that's the way to go either. I think that's a better way to go than a new build. I'm still trying to find developers or contractors that would be willing to work with us and work with our students just to get our students in foot in the door to begin with. There are affordable housing conversations going on in various other local, groups of people. I'm meeting with another man tomorrow who is talking about affordable housing options in the area as well. I recently met with someone that was recommended to me by Mark Green about a project that he is working on that might be affordable units as well. And the conversation I keep running into is developers coming from outside the area are saying that affordable housing is in the $400,000 range, and that is not realistic for anybody. Our teachers are probably at around 40 to 50% AMI, as opposed to, you know, 80% is what some developers are willing to go down to, 30% is considered, you know, transient housing. So still trying to champion housing for teachers and for public employees. This took us a long way forward. It's great to have metrics. It's great to have, you know, an outside person. This is the same consultant that worked with Aspen Schools and helped them move forward with their housing options there. They are dedicated to acquiring funding to keep working with us for another year to a year and a half about next steps from here. This isn't a final report. This is a preliminary assessment of what might be possible.
I don't know how you can ask this. So how many of our staff members that are going to, if they're in need of housing, have another person that lives with them in terms of income?
We can go back and look at that data.
I mean, because where I'm going with that is, so like with the elevations
right.
project,
right.
you know, that would raise the AMI.
Right. We can go back. We did a all district survey, working on 3 years now. But that was very much about people in the district at that point in time. Remember, my big fear on this, of where a big drive of this is coming from, is I think within the next 5 years, we're going to lose 15 to 16 people to retirement. And I don't know how we're going to replace those who are already in the community with people who would be able to move into the community and take those places over. So I can't predict what those incoming teachers, counselors, administrators are going to need. So I think it's going to have to be, some one bedrooms, two bedrooms, some three bedrooms. But I'm trying to look a decade away when we're going to have a big migration of professionals in the school district that are going to need to be replaced.
Well, if I put my other hand on, with all the proposed housing projects that are on the table and in the pipeline, I think we're going to have a glut of housing and prices are going to fall more than they are right now.
I don't hope that on any developer, but I would be okay with that.
Just saying.
Well, I think if we're looking at attracting staff here, they would be moving here on the strength of one income, no matter what. Whether they're able to acquire a second income once they're here, you know, based on a spouse or a roommate.
Agreed.
That's a different thing, but if we're trying to attract them and get them here, they're going to be, we're going to ask them to move here based on one income.
And I think it would be a...
So that's differently in like...
The conversation that we've always had, it would be an ace in the hole if we could go to college recruitment fairs and talk to 22 and 23-year-old first-year teachers and tell them, we pay a little bit less, come live in the mountains in a house that the district is providing for you, give us a 2 to 5 year commitment for that, or providing for you at low cost. Yeah, you can go to Denver and make more money and you're going to spend it all in an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can come here and you can live 5 blocks away from campus and not have to drive anywhere. Et cetera. So I agree with Tanya 100%. I don't think we can count on bringing in 20-year veteran teachers with a wife or a husband or a, you know, I think we need to, we're looking for singleton professionals who may or may not have a second income with them.
Okay.
So that's where we're at with that. There's a lot in the report. I encourage the board to look through it. And it's also going to show you that we're not the only district in this. You know, they've been working closely with District 49 as well on the same project.
Yeah.
So some of the background information in the report is more statewide. It's not just Cripple Creek specifically.
So at the beginning, you said that this report that was in our board packet is inaccurate? Or I didn't get it. There was...
This one versus what's in the packet.
Well, I got one that...
They're the same.
Okay.
The one I did not get.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, these just had, we had extra copies.
Okay, okay, I get it. Okay.
Well, I found it interesting. I think there's, it's an interesting report. It's probably as much has been done on housing up here than has been even attempted in the last 5 years.
And...
There's a long way to go here, but
there
I think
is.
this gives us a good outline to present to potential contractors or investors.
Well, and that was the next piece is, people have asked if they could see this, and I said, I wanted to talk to you first.
Yeah.
You know, they work for us, but I would like to be able to share this report with Gold Camp Housing, with developers that I'm meeting with starting tomorrow. I would like to say, hey, this is what our consultant has put out there.
And I just, right now, I think we're looking at a real sketchy real estate market.
I agree.
For a while. Part of it is, I don't know how many of you follow this stuff, but I kind of follow it pretty closely. There is a exodus out of Colorado. There are a lot of overpriced mortgages that have been spent in Colorado, and I've seen this 4 times in my lifetime happen before. And if it follows the same trend, what's going to happen is you're going to have a big crash. You're going to have a lot of people defaulting on mortgages, walking away from them. The banks are going to have to file bankruptcy on these properties. It will put pricing back in line. The market will readjust itself. We just don't know how long that's going to take to do.
And I'd add 2 things to that, Mark. The other thing that is consistent in all of these conversations that I've been having is how many insurance companies are dropping houses up here because of fires.
Good point.
And hail.
Yeah.
And that is going to get worse. And so knowing that that's tremendously going to affect how mortgages work, similar to what happened in California. So that's something else to think about. I think you're absolutely right. And then the other piece that is
so you talked about sharing the report.
Yeah.
And so I, again, I think it's very important that Shannon has her hand on
yeah,
this.
Yeah, for sure.
And she gets it quickly, so rather than just sharing it at,
oh, no.
at a meeting.
I mean, but, like sitting down and talking to her.
Well, or to get it to her right away okay. so that she could read it. The other one I think would be Reed.
Yep.
And then the other one is Bobby Tech.
Yep, absolutely.
So, you know, and I can't think of the other, you know, but again, I still think about, you know, our enterprise zone that, again, that can be a revenue stream. And if it moves to a fix and flip scenario or fix and keep, then we need to be on the ground floor in terms of being able to get that tax revenue. And then for people who are sellers to understand that it could be incentivized.
Mm-hmm. And that's where, I mean, that's going to be important. You know, this is kind of a, not a mirror, but it's also important to remember that with the enterprise zone, there is a minimum amount of donations that have to go into that for us to maintain that zone. And until we get a developer or a builder participating in that, the small donations that we're getting here and there for like the trades program or whatever aren't going to be enough to keep us in that enterprise zone status.
So what is the contract? Are we under a contract with the enterprise zone or not?
I don't know. I don't know if it's a contract or if it's an MOU or if it's a. Oh, I'd have to go back and look at that. It's not. Like, we're not. We haven't promised that we're going to provide anything to stay in the status. We have to meet their qualifications. So contractually, like they're not going to come after us if we don't do that.
No.
Or we might lose our status if we don't do that.
But again, I don't know if it equates to how we have our enterprise zone, and so this is the last year of our fifth year.
Yes.
Of our enterprise zone, and we have $75,000 left of a $500,000+ contract that we had, and we've achieved all of it with the exception of the $75,000. And hopefully by December 31st, we'll have that again.
Okay.
But there are two different types of enterprise zones.
Yeah, I think I'm speaking of the one that was acquired last.
I would just like to take and see the language of that.
Sure.
Again, knowing, you know, what's the comparative in regards to what ours are.
I can do that.
I think your meeting tomorrow.
Yeah.
Will fit hand in glove with this.
Exactly. And again, I hope you understand why I didn't want to pass the report on.
You. Okay. Okay, then moving on.
Library update. I met with Mike McDonald and the library board. We all agree that our lack of candidates for the librarian position is because our salary offer is significantly below other schools and districts that are our size statewide. The board, and led by Mike McDonald, did quite a bit of research. They have recommended that we raise that salary range. Not significantly, by about $6,000 total, and that will put us in the range of where other school districts our size are getting librarians in. Mike also went through a job description and compared it to language of librarian programs around the country and took some of the outdated language out and put in language that matches what graduates are actually talking about from library programs now, so it might look more, a little more up to date in that job description. The school, the library board, I think they're meeting, I want to say next week, they have to go through it all and look at it and agree to it, and then everything will be posted after that. I don't believe there's anything for the board, I mean, with your okay, I don't think there's anything for you to vote on, it's just an update of the description. And we split that cost. That is not, you know, that's not a full cost on us. I don't think it's a significant amount.
I don't think it's
anything.
When you're talking about the $6,000, is that $6,000 from the school and $6,000 from the library board, or three and three?
I think it's $3,500 and $3,500. I think we are at 40, it's a range, so I think we're at 43 to 51 right now, and we want to take it up to 41 to 51, I believe it is. So, in the math in there, figuring out what the actual raise is compared to what the individual is.
So again, my thing is that, you know, we're wearing Mike out.
Yes, we are.
And that we have to move towards some type of permanency. I would wonder then, again, if you're thinking that there needs to be an increase, and we know this.
We do.
That it, do we have to wait until a new budget comes forward?
I don't think the number is significant enough to merit a budget change.
So I guess I'm trying to, my question then is that, is there a way that as a school board, we can approve this as an increase in our current budget? Rather than to wait, otherwise, we're in a holding pattern until next July, when a new salary bracket comes aboard. So my thought is, that doesn't seem fair to him, it doesn't feel like we're doing what we should to get this thing, some kind of solution.
I think I understand what you mean. In my experience, we have, as a superintendent, I have the ability, if there's a hard-to-hire position, I have the ability to adjust that without the board's approval if it's under $10,000. I know Miriam did that.
Yes.
Previously, and she informed the board that she was doing it because we could not hire that position. The librarian is a hard-to-hire position, we've had two applicants in 7 months, so I don't believe it needs to go to the point of adjusting the budget for next year.
But is, Mike needs to be in the know that you have that kind of flexibility?
Mike and I had this conversation, these are the notes that I took.
Okay, but does he know that we can commit?
Yes.
This extra funding?
I already told him that.
Okay, then it would be a matter that he would relate that to his board, and I would want you to, see that it would be on their agenda?
Yes, it's on their agenda.
Okay.
I don't remember if he said they meet this Thursday or they meet next Thursday. And I spoke to the gentleman at the American Legion about it already.
Okay, because the companion plan was this offer from the RE, or the Woodland Park, Rampart Range District, in regards to what they can bring to the table. So, again, this harms the district without some type of way of going forward that's solidified. And so, you know, I think this needs to be a continued report, and we talked about that, him putting in a reporting mechanism, because otherwise, I don't know that we're going to see any action. And the action needs to happen before something comes that's a crisis.
I'm happy to meet with Mike and.
Okay.
Work that on a regular basis.
Okay.
I hesitate to give Mike more responsibility, but holding him accountable through regular conversations and updates, I can absolutely do that.
Yeah, otherwise, I don't see that we're making some kind of progress, and in the end, he really wants to retire.
He really wants to retire.
And Terry wants him to retire.
Yes.
And his family's worried about him.
Understood.
And so here we are with a guy who just can't get out of this. And again, if it's the extra money that's gonna make the difference, we need to get there with it. We need to show cash on hand to incentivize this.
Mary, I have approved this, I told them that.
Okay, I'm just getting a little frustrated. Because there is the other companion plan is here's an offer from the Rampart Range District.
See, I have not seen an offer from them, other than the gentleman that came and said they were interested in partnering with us. They haven't offered us a librarian, to my knowledge, they haven't offered us.
There was an email that preceded that, And so I have that in my paperwork.
I have not.
He offered to do a share of one of their librarians to come up here.
Yeah, I would love to see that.
So we could have a sit-down with him.
Well, I don't.
If you could forward that to me, that would be great. I didn't know that was on the table.
I will get that to you, but to me, I believe that you're one-on-one. That's the best way to approach this. It's honorable and respectful.
I'll go with that. And Mike and I have a very good rapport.
Yes.
He knows that I'm trying to get him out of here.
Yeah, I just, again, I would hate to see him have a stroke on site.
Question?
Me too. Yes.
Yeah, I just have a question about the position and like, given the area, we probably don't have anybody with the experience that Mike has. Are we incentivizing people, like, we'll train them or anything like that? Like, I know we want people who know library.
They have a degree.
Yeah.
A degree.
There is a starting point, and we are a district / public library. And so there are the state requirements for that public library as well. So there is a minimum. Yeah, it's a hard, hence the hard.
Just don't have a lot of master's degree in library science for Toronto.
No.
But yeah, I mean, there are, and you look back at, if I'm understanding Mike's history, you know, Mike was a teacher.
Yeah, he was.
Who moved into it, you know, and was trained in the process as well. So I think that my experience in this district is we can get creative, but we still have to meet the minimums in some ways. So.
Yeah, it's an opportunity.
It is about.
Well, it can be a growth opportunity too. I mean, it's not like, you know, you're walking them into the New York public library system, you know.
Yeah.
So it's it can be someplace where a lower starting point can grow into something. Because Mike's made a great career out of it. He's done an awesome job. So.
And with that being said, there might be somebody on staff who really doesn't know that there could be this growth opportunity.
It has been mentioned to staff multiple times.
Okay.
Nobody has stepped up for that yet.
Okay.
And it's also would be a little bit of robbing Peter to pay Paul, as understaffed as we are. Mm-hmm. But it would be great if somebody would consider taking that on.
Taking Peter.
Yeah. Just get rid of one of them.
Okay. Okay.
You can handle
Don't
that.
Quote me on that. Okay, then next up is the ballot issue.
Okay.
Donnie,
yep, I will. So many thanks to Mark for being on it to help get it with us ready to go as soon as we have our designs figured out for postcards. He will do signs and banners. Since I don't have to campaign, I'm donating, and I'll do it formally to the committee. I'm donating $170 worth of signs that are coming to me, and Mark's going to make stickies to go over them, so you get 20 signs. We have a really good committee of people, and we're going to have another sit down. It's Thursday, right?
Yes. Wednesday.
Wednesday. Wednesday at 5:00.
And the point of that is going to be to try to avoid duplication of efforts, because we're spinning our wheels in mud right now with this person doing this and this person doing this and doing things over and over. And I want to sit down with all of the players and say, okay, tell me what area you're going to concentrate on and put their name with that. Or if you're not a very sociable person and you don't know everybody in your neighborhood, then we'll sign you up to put signs up and tell you where to go. And I didn't mean that the way it came out, but that's what I meant. And we're short on chat sessions, right?
I mean, we have 5 or 6 lined up, but I would like to have 12 or 15 of them.
Okay, all right. Because that one got rained out in the park, right?
It did.
Okay, so I'll reach back to the mayor.
I thought the American Legion conversation
did excellent.
Went well, thank you. I thought it was very well received.
Well, and it was good information going from that.
Good. And then we have CCME coming up, and that is set. I have Cripple Creek board.
No, CCME isn't going to happen because they won't let us in. So what we're going to do is we're going to pepper that area with signs, because there are a lot of people that support the school in that neighborhood with, you know, donations for anything, anything we ask for the school, they voted on in that building. So Maureen and I are on it. And my neighbor, who's, doesn't have anything else to do but volunteer, he's on it. So we're good there. I talked to the printer today. I sent you, I sent you the information for the back on that. And ladies, if you want in, this is the way to get your hands dirty. So we'll meet on
Wednesday. Wednesday at 5?
Coffee shop.
The Aspen Coffee Shop.
Okay. But it was a, it's just a really good group of people.
And what is it you're accomplishing at the
Okay,
meeting?
So we're going for a ballot issue to keep $500,000 income source alive. So there was a bond issue that caused this building to get enhanced. That expires in December. That money has been, correct me if I, my spiel is wrong.
I'm not allowed to. I will.
Mary will.
After the meeting, though.
So there was a bond issue that helped to get the building, like the junior high and that part, completed. That expires in December, that revenue.
Okay.
What we are asking for is we're asking our voters to let us continue that revenue by maintaining the mill levy that we collect as the same. Then we're not taking, it's not increasing taxes, and that way we are not taking, like right now we've been taking the money out of the general fund to make payments, and that will put money into the general fund. So like when the boiler blows up over there, or God forbid the roof explodes, that won't happen.
I think we're worried about the boiler.
Yeah.
It's 30
years
old.
Funds to do that in place already. We have, you know, it's like, you know, going shopping. So that's the point of it. And
I have a quick question.
Yes.
Because I got several emails on my personal email about signing up for the campaign finance for the state. And I have no idea what our committee name is.
That's the CCB committee for ballot, for the ballot issue. And we are registered with the state. I have that paperwork. And I'm the one who is the finance officer.
Registered agent.
And
okay,
so.
Because I haven't been able to log into it.
Is that the one that Valdez put?
Yes.
Kathy, you put Kathy's not on it anymore.
No.
Oh, I'm not on it.
No, and that could be why you can't log in.
Yeah.
Because Valdez originally listed.
It has to go through Tracer.
But it goes through Mary and Aspen.
It was.
So I can delete all of them.
Yeah, it was misinformation. Because she thought the financial institute would be the school. But actually, it is not. It is our bank.
And Mary, I think that might have been my fault. When Valdez called us when we were talking.
Yes.
You asked who knows the finances. Kathy.
Yeah.
I think I might have told Valdez incorrectly.
Okay.
So
you're off the hook.
Okay, good.
So
I like deleting.
I can make a comment. Of course, I'm in touch with all the rumor propagators and whatever, and we've already had rumors that this is a new tax, and taxes are going up. We'll set up straight.
Give me your number,
I'll call. Stop on that real quick, but I want to say this, and citizens, not members of school, but citizens, Ms. Beals, Mr. Cummings came and visited with the American Legion Post. We set a lot of things straight that day. We had a visit. I would recommend that any church group, any meetings, any groups. Let's get in there. Let's get the information out. Let's get it out properly.
We already have a council.
Let's get the right information out. We can put up all the banners, posters, and everything else we want, but there's nothing that's going to solidify this whole thing better than word of mouth. And we need to do everything we can to keep the right information in front of the public.
We have a calendar set up to do that.
And any of you that want to have a host a dinner party or a luncheon or invite even a coffee.
Oh, yeah, dinner. I'll go with those.
And the legal, just for everybody to hear again, I put it in my report all the time. I cannot speak to people as superintendent, so I can't comment on this stuff in this role. But as a private citizen, I know a lot about what's going on. So I can come as a private citizen and have conversations with folks, so.
Okay.
So I was able to get a check from Kathy Bobia, $500. And another check is coming from Matt Nyland for $100. Shorty has done $200 so far in paying for the plastic and all the paints. So, and then you're going to do the 170. I, at this point, still do not have a budget, but I, you know, as soon as I know costs of things, then we can start plugging it in. And again, it's not to have any extra monies. It is basically just to take it break. And I did put on the statement for the authorization that we did not expect to raise any more than 5,000 or have expenses that would exceed 5,000.
And as soon as we get the phone numbers, I have two people have volunteered to do phone calls.
And I have that on my agenda for tomorrow before I come to work. I'll go with that one. And just for knowledge for everybody in the room, school board members are private citizens. They're able to do this. There's no school funding that can go into this. There is no school resources that go into this. All the printing is private. All of the communications are private emails. All of the everything. At a school board meeting, it's appropriate for them to talk to the superintendent about what is going on with the ballot issue. But this is not school business. This is school board business. So,
right.
Okay. I learned a lot of legal stuff in the past 3 months. So I'm sharing that knowledge with everybody.
Okay, next is the 2025 audit progress.
I think we're moving ahead.
I'm pretty positive. As of last week, Lane had probably 99% of what we were supposed to do uploaded in the audit for them. We were supposed to have a meeting today, but we needed to cancel that, so we're going to do that Wednesday and see where A12 is.
And our due date for them is this Friday.
Yes.
And that's the initial of having everything in the folder for the auditors to look at. I believe 2 weeks from now is when.
And start working on it. So when they get here, they don't really need much. But it's already all.
Yes.
So our, you know, and this was Kathy and Elaine's direction. We're getting everything they need to them right now. That it will sit there ready to go for 2 weeks. The auditors will work on it before they get here. So ideally when the auditors get here, there will be a couple of questions. And you know, knock on wood, the audit will be done way early.
Good.
Okay.
Yes.
I think it's the fourth. They're coming like the last.
Is it the?
Was it, was like the 29th of September or something?
That's what we requested. They did not do it. They're in Custer that week.
Okay.
So they're coming in October.
Okay. Okay.
That's the weekend we chocolate.
Okay.
That's the one weekend we chocolate.
Okay.
Oh.
Next is the BOCES update.
Okay, BOCES has a board work session next week. 15th, I think.
And it's here.
It's here, because I report that we go back to the change it by district, because, you know, I don't think it's fair. We drive Woodland Park all the time. And Katie was very eagerly able to do that. I'm glad you guys could accommodate on short notice. It is, the agenda isn't anything out of the ordinary. It's director's report, seeing if there's any weird little loose ends that we left out in the transition for you guys to know. We had a three-member BOCES. Manitou moved on to their own last year, so now it's just Woodland Park and Cripple Creek. And we had to get an at-large board member, so we have two from Cripple Creek and Stephanie and I. And then there are two from Woodland Park and the at-large person, her child happens to go to Merritt. So we're reinventing the wheel, kind of. But I don't think we're having any issues.
I would say enough. very communicative. She is very competent. I feel very good about the, we've hit some bumps in the road dealing with some out-of-district students, and she has been incredibly professional in dealing with those so far.
I'm finding her to be very responsive.
I feel good about that. I would also add to that, and I think this would be the right time, I have been in conversation with the Parks interim superintendent via BOCES, and I've had similar experiences. Ginger Silver, and it seems to be maybe a fresh relationship that could be very beneficial to all of us. So I feel positive about that shift in their superintendency as well.
And that whole makeup of that board could change with their election.
It very well could.
I had the pleasure yesterday of meeting three of their candidates. Stellar.
A very refreshing shift.
They're very, 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 very smart people.
So what I saw in your report, Tanya, is that you have 108 students, and there are 18 special education IEP students.
At this point, I think we just had, the point that was written, I think we just got another enrollment, I'll have to check, but yeah, it's close.
So, and again, you wrote this at 17%, and the state average is at 12. And so I'm wondering, what is it on the secondary side?
I don't have that number in front of me, I'll have to look. It's pretty close to the same.
And this number is actually, it may be a little bit higher on the side, because our number went down this year, because we had such a strong number that came across to sixth grade.
And we did have a few move out of special education by choice this year. So I would guess we're right around that, but Mary, I'll get that number for you.
Because again, I think that's huge in regards to our performance framework when you figure this population. But it also takes and stokes the conversation in terms of our needs.
Yes, it
and,
does.
Yeah, so I think it's really important that we keep those numbers right up front.
You're right.
Because.
Yep.
Okay. So then next topic is the board attended events. And so the upcoming events is obviously our groundbreaking tomorrow at 2:00 for the childcare place for kids. And then the other one is the Autumn Leaves Benefit Concert on the 27th.
Yeah. And we got stuff on that.
So is there anything else that you could foresee?
I need to bring up stuff on the concert. So,
okay.
I really need all board members to commit to help. Either we'll be there starting at 3:00 in the afternoon until probably 9:00 at night. That's a very long day. So we need board members that can commit to help, like either the 3 to 6 window or the 6 to 9 window, because we have equipment that has to be hauled in, equipment that has to be hauled out, things that have to be set up. We have 16 students who are helping that will need a little guidance. We have had amazing support from the City of Cripple Creek's marketing department. They literally distributed almost 160 posters for us. Mark made some great banners that are out to be hung around. Some of them I think are already up. I think there's one that isn't. We have to fill about 140 seats. The City of Victor, I think it's legal to say this now, gifted us $1,000 in exchange for 12 tickets, and they are going to send their elected officials over here, which is awesome for us. I did have a conversation with a large donor that I had to touch back with him this week. He had some life going on at the time. The biggie is getting those seats sold, and you can go to BeatDoTheater.com and get a seat. We have run into a snag in that one of our local hotels promised us 18 rooms and they called back 9 of them. So I need lodging for 9 more musicians between now and the 27th of September. So if you have friends in high places, that's where we're at.
We did one of my sandwich board that the youth's gonna put out, as long as they're there, it's gonna be doing their, getting ready for the next plan stuff. As long as you're there, they're gonna put it out for us.
Great.
So we'll have that on the weekend, they hopefully.
So, Tumahai Club has been exceptional. We need to highly recognize them. They printed the 500 posters at no charge. Somehow magically, they are donating, I don't know how, but I don't even want to know the backstory of it. But they are, giving all of the musicians t-shirt tuxedos. So it's a little more fun, not so stuffy. And then, and Dan might know the answer to this one, but Laura and Rob are, designing some really cool band t-shirts that they're gonna sell as swag, you know, for people to make some bucks. But we really need to get this going. I would love to be able to, at the end of the day, to have $4,000 in that line item. Because they're out of instruments. Can't really rent a band if you don't have anything to play. So clean your closets, find your old clarinet and donate it.
The other thing is board attended events. So Jack McGee's Celebration of Life is on Saturday. So that would be another board attended event.
And Mary, I will be here as early as you need me.
Okay.
I have the whole day, I'll just be here.
What needs to happen?
Set up, carry out, whatever. I believe it starts at noon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Noon three is it, but I'll be here well before that.
Okay.
Just as neighbors.
And that's this Saturday.
Yes.
Just to put it on the radar, October 9th is Math and Science Night.
Yep.
And then, the ninth item was added, and that's a self-site proposal.
Yes.
So I see where they wanna give us $168,000.
And this was, pretty new to both Kathy and I. Kathy researched it and found that Verizon has been renting a cell phone transponder, I think, site from the school on the backside of the bus barn for 8 or 9 years now. Longer than that.
But it was started even before 2014, so I don't know when exactly.
13 years, and they pay us, how much is it a month?
$11.66.
$11.66 per month they've been paying us for this. They are looking to upgrade their network in the area and getting out of the rental business. They want to purchase that spot for their transponder to the sum of whatever the cell site says.
Yeah, and I think the amount calculated out to like, 12 years of payments, they would send us all at once.
But they said this is for a 99-year lease.
Yeah.
And
I'm of the mind, based on the language of that and based on the, understanding that they're trying to expand service up here, that they're looking to be free of things long-term. And if we say no, they will just move their transponder somewhere else.
My suggestion is because this has got, again, a backstory.
Sure.
So I think that you need to send this, proposal over to John Stanley. And see, again, he is going to have privilege. John Stanley is our attorney. He is going to take a no, again, where other schools are at in regards to these types of proposals.
Understood.
Yeah.
Well, just the fact that if it's a lease, you don't just go.
Okay, any other concerns from board members?
I would like to say one more thing.
Okay.
And just as a positive, I think we would be remiss in not congratulating Tanya Coffey.
Yes.
State Performance Frameworks came out, as you guys know. And Mark, one thing, when we're talking about state performance frameworks, and I mentioned this because it came up the other night, our standardized test scores are not spectacular. They can always be better. The state performance framework is a yearly assessment that the state does on a school district or a particular school, and they're looking at attendance rates, and they're looking at improvement in test scores, and they're looking at, parent participation, and they're looking at all those things that go into a school district and a school that aren't just your standardized test scores. 2 years ago, Crescent was at their five levels, going from turnaround status up to performance status. This time last year, we got the report that Crescent was near turnaround status. Tanya took that very seriously. She filed a petition with the state. She moved them up slightly. And then last year, Tanya and her group of teachers, they busted their asses, and they moved up two full spaces away from turnaround there into improvement with a plan.
Well, I for one am really proud of the mansion.
Which is huge.
Yeah.
So.
That's got to go to the teachers.
It does.
Really gotta go to the teachers.
We're done good.
Maybe when we give them a turkey at Thanksgiving, we can add something to that turkey.
You know, to be honest, the teachers have really, and we're very blessed at Crescent. Those of you who have had kids there know that the teachers really want the kids to succeed, and they want to find ways to make that happen. And we have spent about a year and a half really looking at math, and they've been some very serious conversations. How do we change this? And the teachers are teaching their hearts out. We are teaching our hearts out. We are doing this. What can we change? How can we make things different so that then we can get those growths? So they've really been taking some serious introspectives. What are we doing right? What can we keep? What can we rearrange? Those kinds of things, and then acting on it.
And Tanya, you're being very humble, because I would also say it takes somebody in a position of leadership who's willing to push teachers.
Well, so,
and we have incredible teachers on both sides of the street, but you have to be willing to challenge them to do something new, and you did that. So thank you.
Well, as long as we're throwing out attaboys, great job on the sad bones. Great job. I would have never thought of that. I was stunned. And I think that's...
I don't know what you're talking about.
Getting sat phones for the buses. I think that's a great idea, especially up here.
Yeah.
Good job, guys.
Absolutely.
So one other thing is the full belly backpack program.
Yes.
Getting them back, the backpacks.
It's been a lot of phone calls. And we have people at Crescent who are working very hard on that every week, and you know, we're still trying to get people back into that routine.
And again, I sort of tried to explain to one of the volunteers that it's not necessarily memory issues. Sometimes I think it's dysfunction and a pattern of that. And again, I see it as a touchstone, and obviously getting those backpacks filled with food for over the weekend is such a resource and support mechanism for food insufficiencies.
And we had, they had slated 18 backpacks, we're at 20 now.
Yes.
And those of you who know Sarah Unita, who used to be Sarah Estrada, one of our past graduates,
yes,
working there, and she has taken that on, and she is working very diligently to maintain contact with those families, and so because we can't fill them if we don't have them, and she understands that they need to go out.
Yes, and again, it would be nice to have that faith-based group get to see Sarah and for her to articulate.
They do.
Okay.
They get to see her twice a week, actually, once when they pick the backpacks up and once when they drop them.
Okay. But, and again, maybe that whole congregation, that she could be a guest speaker on a Sunday. Yeah.
Yeah, she's a powerhouse.
This is good to hear.
She's just getting started.
Yeah. Anyway, any other?
I've got one. I don't remember this, and I don't know if we were even part of it, but apparently the school has opted out of the Colorado FAMLI. To where if a teacher has to take a family medical leave, they're not going to get paid from the state of Colorado, and we opted out of that.
That's the family. That's different than FMLA.
Yeah.
No, we didn't opt out of it.
Yeah, we opted out of the family, which which is the extra.
Oh, okay.
The extra one.
But we still have FMLA.
Yeah.
But that just protects your job, where the Colorado one actually pays you while you're on leave.
Yeah, but it's just because we opted out, they, doesn't mean they cannot apply for it. They can apply for it, they just have to do it on their own, and I have the information if anyone needs it. I just sent it to one employee, with all the information she needed to get signed up for that.
I don't know how expensive it is. I know for myself, when I was doing it for, before my knee surgery, it wasn't very expensive, and I don't know if that might be a, you know, a benefit or a perk that might help, keep the,
Yeah.
The staff around, or keep the morale up a little higher if somebody does get sick and, or their family gets sick and they need to take a couple weeks off or something, or however long. I think it's up to 12 weeks, you know, which I hate to see people take 12 weeks off at a time, but sometimes that kind of stuff happens, but, I think this, that morale part of that might help.
Would you guys have a sick bank?
Yeah, and I know that when that came up, we really had a lot of debate and researched it well. So it wasn't about money.
Right.
It was about existing supports and resources that was a duplication. And it just didn't weigh in regards to what, we were gonna get.
I was just asked about it, and I couldn't remember anything about if we even had a decision or discussion about it, other than this side might be, you know, something we might reinvestigate instead of getting bad word out.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, I believe it was, approved on one of the agendas.
It was.
That was a while.
Well, and did they have their programs confused?
No, and, you know, I don't want to get into my, to call to.
Right.
Well, we can always, I mean, I don't know if we have to wait until whatever timeline, it is for that we opted out of, or, but I can look in to see if that's something we can discuss, in the future.
So at the time, there was enough support in place, Mary, that's why we.
Yes. And again, I can remember it sort of crossed over because as a nonprofit, we also had to look at that.
Yeah.
Because it was new legislation.
Right. Thank you.
I have a motion for.
Any questions for you guys?
Not at this point, no.
Thanks a lot for attending.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Yeah.
I can chat with you right after for a minute.
That'd be perfect.
Okay. So we have a motion for adjournment.
I'll motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Fields.
Aye.
Goodville.
Aye.
Conley.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Stokes.
So, Casey, are you heading home?